This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Tonight, I want to talk about something that I want to preface it because I want to talk a little bit more about the meditation process. If you're new to this and you're hearing me tonight, and you think meditation, if we're not careful, you'll think meditation and you'll think either yoga or Buddhism or mindfulness or something far Eastern. And actually, what we're going to find is that biblically, meditation, God has had it from a long time ago. And so learning how to control our thoughts and focus our thoughts. So don't hear that and go, that's kind of way out there. No, it's biblical. And here's another thing, too. When we talk about some of this tonight, you have to watch this thought, well, Alan, I don't know if I want to do that. That sounds extreme. Well, learning how to control our thoughts and think intentionally, it's different. And it can be a discipline. But it's not weird. Especially if we're filling our mind with God's thoughts. And so learning to do that and learning to think... Listen, there have been times when my mind has seemed to run wild. And I won't ask for a show of hands. I'm going through a time of stress or a time of difficulty. And Joy and I have talked about it. Both of us experienced at times. There's a verse that said that they surrounded me like bees. And it felt like your mind is buzzing. And I've had times like that. And then I've had times of peace in my mind. And peace is better. And so what I'm going to talk about tonight, I just want to encourage you. Hey, listen, you came out. It's cold out there. This is Texas nasty out there. And you came. So how many of you believe if you made the effort to come, might as well get something good while you're here? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for every individual. They made the effort to come tonight. Father, they could be doing something else. They chose you. And so, Father, tonight we just thank you. We ask you, Father, that you would give us words, that you would enlighten us, that you would help us, that we could see things clearly, that some of the problem areas that have haunted us, Father, can stop and go away, and we can have a hope that brighter days can be ahead because you're good and you're our good Savior. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your anointing. We cherish all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For sake of time, I'm going to go ahead, just guys, and jump down. I'm not even going to recap as much. I'm going to talk about planting God's word in your heart. Joshua, the first chapter. So I'm going to skip our text tonight and just go straight here. This was God speaking to Joshua. Joshua followed Moses, said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." I don't know about you, I'm in for that. Make my way prosperous and have good success. Actually, that word good success means you'll deal wisely. Deal wisely in the affairs of life. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Understand that Joshua took over from Moses. How many of you know if you're going to follow somebody, it's not Moses is not the guy you want to follow? Moses with the stick, Moses with the rod, Moses with the plagues, Moses with parting the waters. Moses had some pretty wild stuff. Comes down from the mountain. He's got the tablets. He's been on the mountain for 40 days in the presence of God. He's got tablets that God wrote. If you're going to follow somebody, you want like, "Look, I don't want to follow Moses." And so now you've got not just Moses, but you've got over a million. They estimate anywhere from 1 million to 3 million people, and you're responsible for leading them in. And God is talking to you, and he's giving you instructions. And he told Joshua a few times. In fact, he started off with, "Moses, my servant, is dead." God's like, "He ain't here, and he's not coming back. And it's on you." And then he says, "Be strong and be of good courage." He tells him that actually three times. "Be strong and be of good courage." You expect to hear that from a leader, but then he tells him, "Meditate in my word. Meditate in my law." You're thinking, why isn't he talking to Joshua about military tactics? Why isn't he talking to Joshua about logistics? Why isn't he talking to Joshua about leadership organization? You would think he'd be talking about that. He says, no. He said, you meditate in this word. But this is not news to Joshua. This had actually begun to be established by Moses. I'm going to show you an interesting passage. I haven't seen it in a long time. As I was studying, I saw this. Actually, guys, let me go back to the, Carrie, let me go to the Deuteronomy passage if I could. The Deuteronomy, there we go, thank you. Deuteronomy 32, this is right before Moses dies. He said, Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said to them, set your heart on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe all the words of this law. For it's not a futile or a vain or an idle thing for you, because it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Now understand that Moses was the first one who really began to write down the commandments and the law of God. They didn't have it written down before then. And so Moses began to write that down. So he began to establish the law and the principles. And so he told them, he said, don't say this is futile. Don't say this is vain. In other words, he said, don't say this isn't high value. It's extremely valuable. He said, this is your life. And he said, and by this word, he said, you're going to go in and take the land. In fact, he said, tell your children, you command your children to follow. I appreciate parents that bring their kids to church. It's one thing to send your kids. It's a better thing to bring them. And I appreciate the fact that in our children's ministry, we're not babysitting your kids. We're teaching your kids. And we're teaching them good principles. So here's something powerful. If you teach them and we teach them, we just up their chances of being successes in life. If we can both. And Moses said, you command your kids. And I could really, really meddle there, and I'm just not. I got some other stuff I want to go on to. And I'm going to just keep going. Discipline, Alan, just discipline, all right? He told him to meditate. Now, let's just talk a little bit about what it means to meditate. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So he's telling Joshua, you need to keep this words in your mouth. To meditate means to ponder. If he looks at it, it actually means to ponder by talking out loud. And so the idea behind it, he said he was to ponder this and think about it and to ponder. So let me give you three things in meditation. Ponder, personalize, and practice. To ponder by taking it, just take a verse, and then you can take a verse and you can speak it out loud. I have verses that every day I speak out loud. And you say, well, that sounds weird. Is there a reasoning behind it? Well, again, it's not weird. It's biblical. It might be weird if you've never done it, but honestly, guys, if you attended a transcendental yoga meditation, they would have you sit cross-legged on the floor and go, hum. And you're going to pay money to teach you someone to go, hum. I'm giving you something more constructive for free. But this idea is that you can begin to speak it out loud. There's something about having it in your mouth and as you're articulating it. One, it helps you focus. You've heard me say over and over again, when you read your Bible, if you're by yourself, if you can and you have the time, read it out loud. If you'll read it out loud, you'll find it your ability to focus on it is better. I don't know about you. I can read. I can be a little bit of a speed reader. You don't want to speed read your Bible. And so sometimes, have you ever read something and realized while you were reading those words, you were thinking about something else? So that's why a lot of times I'll go back and read it out loud and it helps me focus on what I'm doing. So he said, meditate, then you personalize it by making the scriptures apply to you. Now, here's a good example of that. A lady, she's an author, wrote a book called What I Learned in the Dark. I think her name is Jennifer Rothschild. Jennifer says that after 9/11, some of you who were traveling, do you remember how tense it was after 9/11? And especially if you were flying. And she, after 9/11, boy, they changed all the rules. Everything was tense. Going to the airport was tense. And Jennifer told the Lord, she said, I'm afraid to fly. She said, she just got honest. She said she was on her knees. She's praying. She said, Lord, I'm afraid to fly. She said, and she asked the Lord for his help. She said, when she did that, she said, a verse came up in her heart, and it was Psalms 56:3. It says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. So she's praying, she said, and that psalm came up in her heart. So what she said she began to do was, she began to take that psalm and she began to speak it. Whatever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Whatever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And as she began to speak it and think about it, meditate on it, she said what she realized was, she says, whenever I am afraid, she said, afraid is a condition. She said, I will trust in you is a volition. In other words, it is a conscious choice. And she had a revelation. She said, my volition can change my condition. My choice can change. And so she began to realize, I don't have to be afraid anymore. And she got on airplanes and she began to travel. She would sit down, she would meditate, but she was able to travel on airplanes. Why? She took a scripture and she began to go over it and she personalized it and made it real to her. See, the idea is you don't have to, don't try to do this with a book, take a scripture. Now here's one that I like a lot. It's one of my scriptures for this year. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You say, well, how would I personalize that, Alan? Well, I'd just sit there and do this. Now, here's what you can do. And again, don't do this in your break room at work. This is an alone time. This is with you and the Lord. Or this is you riding down the street, going to work. You can make your commuting time a communion time. And you can just fellowship with Him. But say, Lord, you are my light, my salvation. Try that sometime. If you get in, automatically cut the radio on. Just get in and automatically cut it off. And take a verse, and between there and home, speak that verse. You'll find it'll bless you. Lord, you're my light, my salvation. I'm not going to be afraid. Lord, I have light. I am not in the darkness. Thank you that you are my light. You are the light of my life. Before Debbie Boone ever sang that song, you are the light. You light up my life. Lord, thank you. I have salvation. I have light. I'm not in the dark. I don't have to be afraid. Lord, you're the strength of my life. I am not a weak person. I'm strong. I am strong in the Lord. You're the strength of my life. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes you'll talk to people and they'll say things like, well, I'm just a weak person. I'm just weak. Or maybe spiritually, I'm just weak. And I want to encourage you, that's to stop saying that. That's not helping you. All it's doing is entrenching what you already believe about yourself. You need some new beliefs. We need to stop believing. Because if I want to tell you something, the enemy will help you with that one. You're like, I'm just a weak person. He's like, oh yeah. In fact, you're a lot weaker than you think you are. And you're bad too. You're weak and bad. You're like, yeah, I'm bad. I'm weak. It's not helping you. It's not. We need some new beliefs. Well, Alan, where do I get new beliefs? That's why we go to the Bible. That's why God told Joshua, don't be talking about how weak you are. Don't be talking about what you can't do. Talk about how God is our light, how God's going to get us through, how we're going to possess the land, how He is leading us. He's the God that brought us through the Red Sea. He's the God that helps us. We need to talk that. And so by taking a verse and meditating on that verse, you're beginning to put different things. And man, after a while, it gets in your heart. And this is what I'm saying. If you'll trust me on this, just try this. And you'll get a verse and pretty soon you'll start speaking it. And all of a sudden you're going to find yourself, I'll find myself just walking through the house, praising God, going, Lord, you are the light of my life. You are my salvation. I am not going to be afraid of anybody. Lord, you are the strength of my life, and I'm strong. You're the strength of my spirit. You're the strength of my emotions. You're the strength of my body. I'm strong because you're the strength of my life. And you can have a good time with that. You can just rejoice with that. Say, well, how do I know it's working? When it starts rolling out of you like that, it's in you like that. But you can begin to do that. And it's a wonderful way just to take a verse. I'm riding down the streets and I'll cut through. And listen, it takes more discipline and it's not as easy to cut the radio off and take a verse and meditate. But it will bless you. And now no one thinks you're crazy. They think you're talking on the Bluetooth. So you just ride down the street and you can do this. So that's a powerful thought. So you ponder by talking out loud, you personalize it, and you practice it by keeping it with you and looking to act on that. Now the quality results are promise. We make the step of believing that God's Word is powerful to us. And here's the deal. God's Word is more powerful than our problems. And how many of you know that we often think about those? True? Anybody ever had a problem? We're going to have fun with this one. How many of you ever had a problem and you've really thought about it? In fact, you've thought a lot about it. In fact, you thought so much about that problem, you drove all the way home and you didn't even realize how you got home. Because you're thinking about that problem. You're watching a television show, but you're not even watching the television show. You're thinking about that problem. Then you lie down to go to sleep at night, and you're not thinking about anything. You're thinking about that, and you've worked that problem out, and you've worked it out in this way and this way. But then if they say this, this is what I'm going to do. But if they do this, I'm going to do this. But if this happens, I won't tell you something. I'm going to do this on that. I know it. Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever wake up in the middle of the night and that problem comes and all of a sudden you can't even go back to sleep? And you're like, you're up there walking the floor going, I want to tell you something. I'm going to do this and then this is going to happen. And then you're going to act like you're praying, but you're not praying. You're just worrying in God's presence. That's all you're doing. Lord, I'm here and Lord, I'm talking about you. Yeah, Lord, you know what they said. In fact, they said this, but Lord, if they say this again, this is what I'm going to do about that situation. Because Lord, you know that's not right and they probably should. Don't bring him into this. Have you ever worried through a problem like that? If you've ever worried about a problem, ever found yourself worrying about the problem out loud? Oh, just be honest. Just be real honest. Just don't say they're like, no, never. No, you have been driving down the road going, that's just not right. That's not right. That is not right. Because I tell you what, if they do that again, I tell you, this is what's going to happen. Like, who are you talking to? You're talking to yourself. You know what basically what we've done is we've meditate a problem. So, if we can meditate a problem, we can meditate a promise. Amen. And that will bless you a lot more. Right. Instead of driving down the street going, I just don't know what we're going to do. God, Lord, I want to thank you. You are my light and my salvation. And you can even sing it. And I don't have any fear. You sing, Alan? Mm-hmm. Everyone can sing. Like my friend Keith Moore says, not everyone should record. But everyone can sing. You can sing it. You can praise God with it. And what it'll do is, man, it'll flow through you. It's like cleansing waters. Now, let me give you the next verse, and then I'll continue this next week, because I want us to get to this. This is James. This is what James said. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago about putting off the old man, putting on the new? Yep. Isn't this interesting? James goes back to the same thing. He said, put these things aside. He said, and receive with meekness. That word meekness does not mean low self-esteem. That meekness means an understanding that God is good and I accept what comes from Him as good and I'm not resisting it. So I receive with meekness the implanted word. Now on Sundays we're talking about, I've started a new series called Seeds, because that's how God's kingdom works. It works seeds. The implanted word, He said, which is able to save your souls. Now interestingly enough, this is not written to unbelievers, this is written to the church. So when it's talking about saving souls, even though we use that term as a salvation, eight souls were saved, this is not talking about salvation. This is talking about saving and restoring our inner man. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Now, let's look at this verse in Mark just for a second. He said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. So it says, in other words, the kingdom of God works like if you plant seed, you don't even know how it's growing, but it's growing. Now there's some of you, there's many of you in here who can tell me, Alan, my life has changed. God has changed my life. I think differently than I used to think. I respond differently. My marriage is different. You think, what's happened? Because you've been planting God's seeds in you. And it's begun to grow. And so you get God's seeds. He said, receive with meekness the implanted word, the planting God's word in your heart. Now listen, I wish I had caught on to this quicker. There's not a lot on meditation. There really isn't. There should be. I wish I'd caught on to this quicker because it's more intentional. But over the years of just taking God's word and reading it and speaking it and putting it in my heart, it has changed my mental and my emotional makeup. It is not the same as it used to be. Now, Joy and I had a conversation. We were talking last night. I said, is it true, honey, that you could say that a number of years ago I was a very moody person? And she said, oh, yeah. Much worse than you think. She said, your bad moods were horrible. And I said, would you say I'm a moody person now? She said, Alan, it's very rare that you're ever in a bad mood. Now, I grew up in a moody home. In my home, if you said, I'm in a bad mood, that was like carte blanche to do anything you want outside of murder. But everyone in my family was moody. What's wrong with Mom? Bad mood. Oh. What's wrong with Dad? Bad mood. Oh. What's your problem today? Bad mood. Oh, okay. Bad mood. All my roommates would tell you, Alan has his mood. When Alan gets moody, he's bad to be around. My wife can tell you, I could be bad to be around. I'm going to tell you something. Bad moods are not, you're not a fun person to be around. And I can know because I was one. Listen, I'm not talking about I visited that street. I lived on that street. I lived on a street where I was moody or depressed or either one, and neither one of those is fun. But can I tell you, I don't live moody anymore, and I'm not depressed anymore. And it's not because I matured. Well, and you just matured. Listen, I know some old, crazy people. And some of you got relatives, you're like, man, Uncle Bob hasn't gotten any mellower. He's crazier than ever. How many of you know getting older does not make you smoother and more nice and polite and sweet? In fact, sometimes it makes you meaner because you get so old, you don't care what people think. You're not trying to impress anybody. I don't care what you think. I'm 75. Here it is. Now, I don't know your relatives, so don't go, he's talking about, you know who he's talking about. No, I don't. But I do know that bad moods impacted my family, and I do know they impacted my marriage, and I do know it impacted my children. And I do know that I don't have to live in them anymore. Say, what happened? I got that engrafted word on the inside of me, and it began to save and change my soul. Anybody remember Silly Putty? Remember Silly Putty? I don't know when it came out, 50s or 60s. I know it was out when I was a kid. And it was just like, for those of you who are not high tech, Silly Putty was this stuff, and you could roll it up, and you could bounce it, right? You could put it on newspaper, and it could take an imprint, right? And then you could roll it all up again, and it'd be all smooth again. And the Lord showed me one time, He said, that's how our mind and emotions are. They start off smooth and round, and then life begins to take its toll. And there's a gash here and a pulling there. And pretty soon we look at our inner man and it's like, man, it doesn't look good. And there's this thing happened and that happened and this relationship went sour and it's impacted us. And that's why James said, you receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And I just got the picture of God's word just beginning to wash over our soulless realm. And all those gashes and junk and stuff in our upbringing, you can't even see it anymore. It's restored. God's word can do that. It's powerful. But we have to be willing to take it and put it into our heart. And if you'll take it and put it in. Now, I challenge my staff. I said, come up with 5 scriptures. You don't have to come up with 5. I'm just encouraging people to start with 1. But I challenged them for the year. I said, come up with 5 scriptures and that talk to areas that you want to see improvement in or help in. Why? What am I looking to do? Implant that word, which has the ability to save your soul and to restore. See, I realize people have been told that you're bipolar or you're manic depressive or you have this personality disorder or that personality disorder. And oftentimes medical science will tell you that, and they're giving you the best of what they have, and they'll tell you what the diagnosis is, but they won't give you a lot of hope. I'm going to give you some hope. That regardless of how they diagnose you, God is more powerful than that. And that it can change. And guys, we're living in a world where I really believe that mental health is a bigger challenge than physical health. Amen. And it has taken its toll. And so, man, and maybe because I've walked this road, and maybe because I've been depressed and I don't get depressed anymore. Maybe because I used to be moody and you never knew what, Alan, you were going to get. And I'm pretty cheerful and consistent now. And if my wife says so, you know I ain't lying. I mean, you can have your employees say that, but if your wife says no, you're rarely ever in a bad mood. That means things have changed. And I know this, if it changed, it can change for me, it can change for you. Because it's not because I'm a pastor, it's not because the Lord just felt sorry for me, it's not because Joy just prayed some sense into me, although she tried. It's because I begin to take God's word and put it in my heart. And it began to restore my soul. And it can restore your soul. And I don't care. People say, well, I'm just an emotional wreck. You don't have to be. Alan, I'm just negative. You don't have to be. Aren't you glad that with God, all things are possible? And with His word in your life, all things are possible? And that things can change. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. So here's our challenge for the week. Find a verse. One. I gave you one, Psalms 27:1. Here's the other one. It was Psalms 56:3. What a time I'm afraid I will trust in you. Grab one of those, whichever one you like. Or if you have one of your own, grab one. And this week, spend some time. You just don't start, I'm going to meditate for an hour. Take 5 minutes. And just begin to say it, to speak it, to think about it, to praise God with it. Try that. Will you do that? Anybody want to take me up? That's four of you. Anybody else want to take me up? Okay, just try me on this. And then we'll come back and tell you what. If it doesn't make you feel better, I'll give you your money back. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and your goodness to us. Thank you for your graciousness. Father, there's so many of us sitting here today that have been freed from things that people said we never could get free from. And we're grateful for that. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for those of us who have been freed from depression and those of us, Father, who have been freed from all kinds of disorders. We're grateful for what you have done and thankful that your word and your spirit can work in us and make such a huge difference. And Father, for those who still struggle, I am thankful and grateful that there is hope and there is help and there's an avenue out. And we give you all the praise for that. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you've come this evening and said, Alan, I don't even know if I have a good relationship with the Lord. I don't even know if I'm right with Him, but I want to be. Or maybe you, in your heart, you're honest. You say, I used to have a relationship with the Lord and I got away from Him, but I want to come back. I really want to connect with Him. I want that relationship in my life. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front, but we're going to say a very simple but powerful prayer. In fact, we're going to pray it with you. But if that is you, it would be good for you just to acknowledge that. That will do something for you. It really will make a difference in your life. So if that's you that I'm talking to tonight, and you say, Alan, that's me, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me, would you pray for me? Thanks. Great. Anybody else? Wonderful. Appreciate the hands. Thank you for your courage. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray this prayer out loud. We all pray it with you together as a church. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I thank you for those individuals that acknowledged you. They lifted their hand. They said, I want that relationship with you. Father, thank you that they have that with you, that they have forgiveness, that they have restoration, that you're their Lord and their shepherd. What a wonderful thing that is. Thank you, Father, for helping the rest of us. We're going to make it a good week, and we're going to honor you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.